Through grace, how great a debtor I'm constrained to be every day. It has been said that a great deal of talent is lost to the world for the want of a little courage. That's a mighty profound statement, don't you think? I'm afraid it reflects on the situation of so many of God's people. They do not have the courage they ought, therefore they are powerless. Someone else has said, we fear men so much because we fear God so little. When I look at the world we live in, there's a lot of men who do not fear the God of heaven. Our study of the prophets over the last year or two has brought us in contact with an often repeated phrase, be strong and courageous. I want to talk about being strong and courageous. I think it's really important for us to realize that courage is not the absence of fear, but it is acting in spite of the fear. That's what real courage is. In fact, courage is defined this way: the ability to do something that frightens one, strength in the face of pain or grief, the capacity to meet danger without giving way to fear. Wow. It doesn't make any difference whether we're talking about circumstances or convictions in this case. Courage is not that you have no fear. It is acting, like I said, in spite of the fear, which for Christians comes from trusting the Lord in all and in every situation. Though our lives may have many terrifying or sad things happening in them, we as Christians can be strong and courageous. Our lives may never be what they should be or like we would want them to be, but in spite of this, we can be courageous. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Courage and adversity come from a relationship with one's Creator. In fact, we were talking last Wednesday night after Gary's thoughts on forgiveness, and one of the things that we mentioned, that was mentioned, and I don't remember exactly who mentioned it for sure, but the idea of it depends on how close to the cross you are. The question I would ask you this morning, how close to the cross are you? You see, we can have courage because God gave His people an assurance of His presence. One of the things we clearly seen repeatedly in our study of the prophets was God's assurance that He was with His people. He would be there with them. Joshua was told to be strong and courageous because God would be with him. Deuteronomy 36 or 31, Moses tells Joshua this, and in Joshua 1, God is telling Joshua the same thing. In fact, we just finished studying Haggai in chapter 2 and in verse 4, and notice the number of times the word courage is used in that passage. It says, but now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. We live in a changing world. We live in a world that brings all kinds of fears to light. We've been facing this pandemic, and I just understand that we recently there's been a surge again in the number of cases and so forth. And we've got the riots, and we've got the insurrections that are going on, the protests, and all of these things that put our lives on edge. But as a Christian, as a child of God, where am I to be? I'm to be strong and courageous. And no matter what's going on in this world, because I trust in someone who is greater than this world, I can have confidence by being a child of His, that no matter what happens, He is watching. Again, well, as we studied the prophets, how many times did we not talk about the idea of God was always watching over His people? Even when they were sinning, He was watching over them. He knew what was going on. He was aware. And He hadn't missed anything because He is God. In fact, in Matthew 14, we read about Jesus coming out to meet the disciples. They were on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a storm that had come up as they were out there, and Jesus had not been with them. He is now walking on the sea in the midst of this storm, coming out to them, and when they see Him, they're afraid. But Jesus says, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." There isn't anything going on in this world today that we as Christians need to be afraid of, because we know the God who created the world. In fact, there are a lot of things going on, things that we may not even know about, that are troubling the world and causing fear of what may or may not happen. As we cross the sea of life, we're going to encounter storms. That's just the way it's going to be. It's just a fact of life. But God told Joshua and Zerubbabel and all of the people that they could take courage. Jesus tells His disciples the very same thing, to take courage, because I'm here. I'm with you. You don't have to be afraid. In fact, in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, "Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out His ordinances. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." There's one thing that we can be sure of. God will punish wickedness. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not suggesting that I know that God's doing whatever is going on right now. I don't know that. And whether He is or He isn't doesn't really matter. What I do know is that God will bring the wicked into account, and He will save the righteous. But Zephaniah here says that perhaps you might be hidden. Do righteousness. Walk humbly before the Lord. And maybe God will hide you in the cleft of the rock, in the hollow of His hand. The psalmist in Psalm 46 in verses 1 through 3 says, "God is our refuge, a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar, be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is no reason to fear, because we know who God is and we have a relationship with Him. Maybe I should ask this question. Have you drawn closer to God as the result of the terrible things going on in our world right now? Are you closer to God today than you were 3 months ago? Something to think about, isn't it? We need to remember that God allows things to happen in our lives so that we will draw closer to Him. In James 4 and verse 8, James says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Draw nearer to God, and He will draw nearer to you. Is God closer to you today than He was 4 months ago? In fact, we need to remember that God is not far from any of us. In Acts 17, when Paul is on Mars Hill, one of the things that he says there, in particularly in verse 27, Acts 17 and verse 27, "And He made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us." I'm impressed with what Paul says here, because he takes us back to Genesis 1 and verse 1. He made us all from one individual, Adam. We are all brothers and sisters in the flesh. And we need to remember that. And that Jesus died on that cross. We just sang the song, "Why did Jesus come?" He came so He could die. Well, that just boggles the mind, doesn't it? That our God would lower Himself to the point of becoming a human being so that He could die, because He wanted to save every one of us. God loves us. Why do we need to fear anything? Let us be strong and courageous and face the things that are happening in this world with courage. In fact, we can have courage because God promises that He'll be with us. And we were just talking this morning in Bible class in Romans 3. God never fails in keeping His promises. God is faithful. No matter what men do, God is always faithful. And if He promises to be with us, He will be there with us. And Paul's given assurance that God's protection was going to follow him, that he was going after he appeared before the Sanhedrin. The Lord appears to Paul and He encourages him in Acts 23 and verse 11, "Take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also." Here's an encouragement to Paul. You're not going to die in Jerusalem. You're going to make it all the way to Rome, because you've got to carry the word there. Imagine the comfort that must have been brought to Paul's mind, not knowing what's going on. And that's the life that we live, isn't it? The thing is God's not doing this for us. He's not sending an angel to tell us what's going to happen, is He? And so we just have to simply trust that God's going to be faithful, knowing that He never fails in His promises. What courage this must have given Paul to face the things that were going on here. The very idea, he had been beaten, he's been arrested because of his faith. And it's just, the Lord is saying, You're going to get through this. You're going to go to Rome to preach just as you've done here in Jerusalem. God has also promised to be with us in our afflictions and in our hardships. Chapter 13 of Hebrews. Chapter 13 of Hebrews in verses 5 and 6. The Hebrew writer says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me." I don't have to be afraid of what men are going to do. Chop my head off, beat me mercilessly for hours upon end. It really doesn't matter, because once I am dead, this life is over, and the pain and the anguish of this life are nothing anymore. If I live my life faithfully and righteously before my God, then all I have is the glory that is waiting for those who have passed on. In 2 Corinthians 1, in 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us with all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God." God gives us comfort so that we can comfort one another. God has promised that He will never leave us without support in times of distress and difficulty. Because of this, we have great confidence, boldness to assert that God will bring us help in the time of need. I don't know where it will come, how it will come, but I know it will come. God comforts us, and that word means to call beside. God is going to be beside me to encourage me when things are not going very well or very difficult. And I'm undergoing severe testing. God is at my side. In fact, how does God comfort? God comforts through His Word. Just as we've talked about the fact that all of this study we've done in the prophets, and the minor prophets in particular, over and over again, we see that God is always there, always watching over and caring for His people, seeing to their needs and what will be best for them, always advising them. God comforts us through His Word. The Old Testament exists for the purpose of encouraging us. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." The Scriptures encourage us. We can see the work of God in the lives of His individual servants. Think about Esther. The name of God is not even used in the book of Esther. But God is obviously there working behind the scenes to bring about His purposes. What a wonderful thing to realize God is always there. Psalm 23 and verse 4 in particular. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What powerful words. What great encouragement God provides us with in the writing of the psalmists. God comforts us through His providential care. Think about Paul was very concerned about Titus and what was going on in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 7, verses 5 through 7, Paul is writing about Titus's arrival and how it calmed his fears and his concern for his safety and the things that were going on, the condition at Corinth. God provided God provided. We can implicitly trust God to comfort us. We can have courage because we can trust what God tells us. Paul trusted in what God told him. We had this reading in Acts, the 27th chapter this morning. The apostle was trying to calm those that were traveling with him, that were on the ship. They'd been in the midst of this storm for 14 days. I can't imagine. I've never been on a ship. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps and never had the pleasure of being on a ship with all the Navy men. Never had that opportunity. I'm not sure I'm not thankful for that, though. I believe I am thankful that I was never on a ship. Especially in the midst of a storm. I don't think I had sea legs. Wouldn't have been fun to have been on a ship in the midst of a storm. These men have been in the midst of a storm for 14 days. I can't even imagine a storm lasting 14 days, can you? It's going to be difficult. You don't know whether this ship is going to stay together or come apart. Your life is in danger this whole time. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? And Paul says to them in Acts 27 and verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me." God's angel had appeared to him and told him that all on the ship were going to be saved. Although the ship would be lost, they ought all be saved. His courage, his confidence in God encourages these individuals that are sailing with him. When Paul expressed his confidence in that which was told to him, he was expressing confidence not in hearsay, not in mere conjecture or speculations of men, but in a specific message from God. And we have a special message from God, His revealed Word. It is written down that we might read it and study it and examine it and realize that God is with us. And He cares for us. And that He has provided so many things for us. Each and every day, He provides for us. We, like Paul, can have courage and confidence in what God has revealed. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." That you'll be able to deal with the temptation. What a wonderful promise. Satan cannot tempt me with anything I cannot withstand. That God will not help me in providing a way of escaping that temptation. I don't have to give in. I can overcome. And I will overcome if I trust God. I look for the way of escape. I look for the door. Or I do like Joseph. I run out of the room, out of the house. Whatever it takes, I can do it. Because God is providing for me. I can trust God through His Word. I cannot know God apart from what He has revealed. He has revealed Himself, although in creation, but He has personally revealed Himself in His written Word. In Psalm 119 and verse 27, "Make me understand the way of Your precepts, so shall I meditate on Your wondrous words." Think long and hard on what God has revealed. A child of God can take courage every day from what they learn in God's Word. Don't let anyone or anything shake your study convictions in God's Word by wrangling or twisting the Scriptures. False doctrine destroys confidence in God's Word, reducing it to a jumble of opinions and misrepresentations. But just as Jesus told the brethren in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be ye faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." It will be just as it is said. And I can have courage because God has forgiven me. He's taken all my sins away. He's taken all of your sins away. Matthew 9 and verse 2. He said to the healed man here, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven." Your sins have been forgiven. He assures us we have an assurance of God's forgiveness. In fact, remember in Isaiah 59 and verse 1 and 2 that God tells the Israelite nation that their sins have made a separation between them and their God. Their sins had broken that relationship. Sin was the reason that relationship was broken. And we can be confident because there's a fountain flowing from Calvary today that will change that for us, or has changed that for us. In Romans 4 and verses 7 and 8, Paul writes, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Under the old law, sins were atoned by the blood of animal sacrifices. Leviticus 4 tells us. But they were not fully removed until Hebrews 10, until we find the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all of those things. It was through the propitiation of Christ's shed blood that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. Romans 3 and verse 25, "For all have sinned," or verse 26, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ has set us free," verse 25. It's not just covering the sin, but our sins have been appeased, atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every hint of guilt has been removed by His shed blood. Think about it. All of your debts have been wiped away. Hard to even imagine, isn't it? We can have courage because Jesus overcame the world. In John 16 and verse 33, "Take courage, I have overcome the world," what Jesus said. And He did. And I can too. You as well can overcome the world through Jesus Christ. He gives us an assurance of victory. Isn't that what the book of Revelation really is about? It is victory in Jesus. Victory for everyone who is in Jesus. We can be strong and courageous because there is victory in Jesus Christ. We know when we are among men, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be afflicted, we're going to be tormented. That's just simply the way it's going to be. Jesus himself says in Matthew 10 and verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." Endurance. It takes courage to have endurance, doesn't it? In John 15 and verses 18 and 19, John 15 verses 18 and 19, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." There's a lot of hate in this world. But that hate can be conquered by the love of Jesus Christ. We need to remember that he died for each one of us. You see, Christ vanquished the greatest foe that man has ever had. He triumphed over all that could possibly ruin our lives and our eternity. What's it going to be like to die? What's it going to be like to die? I've sat with individuals and watched the life leave the body. But what's it going to be like to be in that position yourself? Hard to know, isn't it? There isn't any way of knowing because no one has been there and come back and told us what it's going to be like. No human being on earth can tell us, but Jesus has experienced it. And we can learn about it through the Bible. In fact, in Acts 7 and verse 60, then it's viewed as a peaceful sleep. In fact, in Philippians 1 and verse 23, Paul talks about it being a departure to be with Christ. It's viewed as going to the homeland in Hebrews 11 and verses 13 through 16. It's viewed as a life without the body or with a new body. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 44 and 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 through 9. Jesus said, "Take courage, I've overcome the world." We too can overcome the world. In 1 John 5 and verses 4 and 5, John writes, "For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you can overcome the world by being baptized into Christ this morning. In Revelation 3 and verse 21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." To be with God eternally, what a wonderful blessing for those who overcome, those who are strong and courageous. Here are words of confidence, words of encouragement. A Christian can be courageous. There's no reason for complaining. There's no reason for self-pity. There's no reason for feeling sorry for ourselves, sadness or depression. Why? Because Jesus is near. Matthew 4, verse 14, verse 27. Jesus, or God's Word, is sure. Acts 27, verse 25. Because our sins are forgiven. Matthew 9, 2. Because God's protection comforts us. Acts 23, 11. And we can overcome the world. John 16, 33. Is your life what it needs to be? If it is not, you have the opportunity this very morning to change it. to become a child of God and to have all of these confidences that are found in Jesus Christ our Lord, in the God who has created the world and all the things that are in it. And what does He ask of you and of myself? To enjoy eternity with Him. Eternity with Him. Be faithful for a little while. Be strong. Be courageous. And obey Jesus Christ today. Won't you come as we stand and sing?